Roger Steffens has worked on stage, in film, and in radio, but he's made history for his reggae archives. He showed Vanessa Okothobo around the 7 rooms in his home that make up the world's largest Bob Marley collection.
Well, we'll begin the tour in the reggae reception chamber, and in here there are 2,000 hours of reggae video. There are 3,000 reggae
business. How did you come to learn about reggae and to fall so in love with it?
I read an article in Rolling Stone in 73 that an Australian gonzo journalist wrote, and he said, reggae music crawls into your bloodstream like some vampire amoeba from the psychic rapids of Upper Niger consciousness. I said, gee, I have never heard anything like that before. I got to find it. And I went out immediately and got a copy of Catch a Fire, the Zippo lighter version.
Do you think it, you know, was a coincidence that the first reggae record that you bought was Bob Marley, or, you know, was it on a recommendation, or?
Well, it was a coincidence. I found a used copy for $2.25. I could take a chance. Didn't take it off the turntable for 3 weeks.
These cabinets are my reggae correspondence file with people all over the world involved in reggae music.
And you had a chance to meet him. Do you remember your first encounter and what that was like?
Yeah, it was in 78, rather, and Bob was coming to Santa Cruz to do 2 shows, so we got tickets, my wife and I, for both of them. And there was a tall, skinny fellow with little nubber dreadlocks standing by the soundboard when we went in, and I figured he had something to do with the band. And I said, pardon me, sir, are you going to do Waiting in Vain tonight? And he said, why? I said, "Whoa, that's my favorite Marley song, especially that incredible lead guitar that Junior Marvin plays." And he said, "Do you want to meet Bob?" Yeah. Really? Yeah. Can I bring my wife? He said, "Sure." You know, just like that. So he takes me down this long hall to go backstage. He says, "What's your name?" I said, "I'm Roger. This is my wife, Mary." He says, "Hi, I'm Junior Marvin." So I said the right thing to the right guy at the right time, and we went backstage and met the whole band. I had a poster for a show 3 nights later that they were giving out in line. Junior said, "Well, why don't you ask Bob to sign it?" And I go, "Oh, right, yeah."
Oh, sure, this guy.
Oh, I was speechless. You know, I just was so overwhelmed. Bob was so out of it that I couldn't really engage him in conversation. I asked him if he'd do Waiting in Vain, and he just kind of went, "Yeah, maybe."
You know, we been through this, you know, your archives, and they take up 7 rooms, which is just impressive, to say the least.
Or crazy.
Yeah. And how did you start collecting? I mean, what inspired you to document everything in this way?
Well, I've always been a public speaker my whole life. I've been a performer since I was 5. When a subject interests me, I always kept a file. So I took that Rolling Stone article and I put it in a manila envelope, and that was the birth of Roger Steffens Reggae Archives. I couldn't believe that this hugely varied and super exciting musical form existed 200 miles off our shore, and we'd never heard about
it. This is the Bob Marley cabinet, and this is the most valuable part of the collection, the board tapes of the One Love Peace Concert.
And do you have an estimate as to how many items you have here?
Yeah, it can only be an estimate. It's over 300,000 items. Now it's 7 rooms, floor to ceiling. We've had to move twice to house the collection. And the garage. You can't fit a Kleenex in the garage. It's packed right to the door.
One of the things that comes with having an archive this big is, you know, you have to think about, you know, what will happen to it, you know, down the line.
Yeah, I'm 72. My kids don't want to be burdened with it. And I want to make sure that it belongs to history. There's too much important, one-of-a-kind stuff in here. The Jamaica's archive was looted to the ground over the years. There's nothing left there. And they've looked to me to kind of, you know, help them out of that dilemma. But, you know, until they promise to keep it intact and make it available to the public while observing all the rights of the artists, I'm not letting it out of the house. And then his accomplishments, because what he did was something for the ages. Just an extraordinary life story.
That's a 10 million diamond award for legend. Wow. And that was given to me by his publicist when he passed away.
That interview was produced by Vanessa Okothobo and Victor Figueroa.